So this is this set in a time, and you've got a TV series that was going on before you guys were even born. So in that context, when you were developing the part, was there anything that you thought, we better take a bit of care over this or a bit of care over that? Was there something you thought particular attention to?
We all were quite aware that this was going to be quite a different animal from the old series, and still paying, of course, homage to it. And, you know, you want everybody who comes in with their own reference and memories of the series to feel like we've treasured this with delicacy, and that we really give, you know, privilege to the series that it was. But I think I had some reference of watching the series in Swedish television, actually. When I grew up, my dad used to watch it. I kind of peeked over his shoulder and saw a few episodes, and but then took the decision not to see it before we started to shoot this, because I think I've done other films when it's been a reference to maybe some sort of adaptation of the film being done before, and it's always nice to keep your head kind of clear, because also I think both our characters weren't in the old TV series, and we knew that Ilya and Sola were going to be quite different in this film too. So I would love to see the series now, when you've kind of done the thing, and now I'm really curious to see what the similarities and differences are.
Yeah, we just had Arnie and Henry in here, and we were talking about, you know, the fun that it looked like you guys were having making this movie. And I was wondering, like, because it's very easy to look at it as, like, you know, the buddy type movie with the two guys, you know, but actually it's very much a four piece, in my opinion. So what was it all like on set with, you know, between the four of you? Tell us what was going on.
Well, it's a for me it was a different experience to what it was like on set to what it was like off set, because off set we had a marvelous time together, and we were in these fabulous locations, and we had so much fun together. Actually, it was such a pleasure. It's often that when you start a job or you're working on something, your social life kind of disappears.
Very
and this was sort of the opposite.
Yeah, they said that you've all become friends. So.
Which is lovely.
Went out each night to different restaurants. We had an Italian Luca.
Luca
made like a whole mail of things that we just ticked off each day, restaurants and places to go and places to see.
It was so lovely. And, you know, even just coming back to do the press for this is just a pleasure. It's actually just so lovely to see everybody again. But for me, being on set, I mean, most of my scenes are with Henry, but being the villain, it's a slightly antisocial thing, and it's sort of, you know, I sort of felt very, very much in a bubble, in my own evil bubble. I also spent a lot of the time, weirdly, on my own. Perhaps it was a reflection of what it was like, sort of, psychologically, to play her. I felt very removed, and so my experience on set was different to, I'm sure, to Alicia's, who had so many scenes, and you guys really, you know, as characters had to function together in order to obtain the thing you were trying to do, where I was really on my own little sort of nasty tangent, and I felt very much removed from people.
Yeah, we sadly don't have enough scenes together in this film.
I think so too.
Both your character are very strong female character that is not so quite often typical of the movie of the past, but even of the present. So, and another role with the spy movie. So how do you discuss with Guy Ritchie to be into your character? Because both of them are very strong and very
It's been quite interesting to do press the last few days for the both of us, because it's been so clear that so many journalists walks into the room and really wants to talk about the fact that it's two very strong female characters.
Yeah.
I don't think that Elizabeth or I kind of, when we read the scripts, like, oh, this is a strong female character, it's like, oh, this is just great parts.
Yeah,
no,
and that was,
sure.
No, but, it's interesting that, and then, you know, you threw out this couple of days, you also realize, well,
it isn't enough.
And it's, I mean, we saw old films and it's a lot of strong female, you know, actresses from that time, but sadly enough, especially in this genre, it isn't really represented enough.
Well, they so often become the
especially
literal
the
sidekick or the beauty, but not necessarily beauty and brains and all those things put together. But I think that it's sort of credit to Guy and Lionel for writing these characters. I mean, we picked up a script and they just existed in it, and it was never a discussion of sort of like
make it
trying
a strong
to,
woman.
Yeah,
it was just that each
to,
character
exactly.
Had to.
So often you have a you read a script as an actress and you think, okay, but what can I do to layer this? Or then I need to complexity needs to be found in this, or you think I can find this. It's not necessarily inherently in this, but due to their sort of the nature of who they are and also how they drive the plot and. You know, having a villainess, I mean, it is unusual. Everybody's trying to foil her plans, you know, and she's the main source of the evil. And then you have Gabby, and she's really, you know, she's so, what's so great about her is sort of her ambiguity. You don't know where she's lying, where her loyalties lie. You know, she's so fiercely independent, and she... You know, in the end, you think, who's she actually working for? And you go, she's just working for herself.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. You know?
It is refreshing.
Yeah. Alicia, what did you like most about your character when you read it?
Well, I think that thing of finding a very strong, fierce female character, and also because of the ambiguity that Elizabeth mentioned, I knew that I kind of was stepping into a film where people would have their idea of what role I had in this film and the story, and then that will flip quite a few times throughout this film. And then I had never done a comedy or an action, and I got to do both here, and I'm a big fan of Guy Ritchie's previous work, and I think I was very curious how he managed to get his very specific certain kind of black humour and his style and ease to his films, and how he manages to get that performance out of his actors. So, and the character goes on quite a journey. I she's a girl who's brought up behind the wall, and she has never experienced any of that kind of 60s style or revolution herself. So she goes on that journey experiencing that in this film.
What about the action scenes? Because as far as I remember, you couldn't drive. Right?
No,
so
none of us had a
driver's
license.
Was there anything particularly challenging in terms of some of the action scenes?
The stunt was all the people on the street while they were driving the cars. We both actually come from a physical background. We've danced, and so I think I really enjoy the physical aspects of any character that I take on, and then to do some actions are a higher level of that. And I just you get to try things that you would normally never do, I guess. To be in a harness and throw yourself off a building was just a lot of fun, and I don't even drive a car myself. Got to sit behind a steering wheel, and they had actually pulled all the wires through the car, and it was a man in this tiny little cage. It's a funny picture I sent. You know, I think I have it still on my computer, but he actually drove the car for me. And people actually asked me after the first take, like, "How are you? Are you fine? Are you scary?" And like, I hadn't even thought of the fact that I was in the car. So actually, I was put through, you know, the actual. It was quite dangerous, I guess, all the 180s and those little alleys, but I just had so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Is that a particular reason why neither of you drive?
We're both completely impractical human beings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
thought you were very green.
I know, so... Yeah, we're very eco-friendly.
Let's just say that.
We're very,
very
eco-friendly. I think that it's so bizarre, this phenomenon I've sort of noted it throughout my life, that so many actors don't drive cars.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think that we both grew up... Well, I think
in places
where
public transport is...
I mean, I grew up in Melbourne in Australia, and... You just public transport everywhere, and then I went to university, and I was really young when I was in high school, so my excuse that I just spread, I will one day get my drive. I can drive a car, but just, you know, you don't want to be in it with me or people on the road. But I was really young in high school, so when all my friends were getting their license, I couldn't apply for it. And then I sort of missed the boat, I never got on it. And then I just went to university, always took public transport. And I had to drive everyone keeps asking about stunts, and I sort of didn't really get any. But taking off in a manual car for me was like a really huge life achievement. When I got it, and the gears and the thing, and it went in a straight line, I was like, yes, it was such a private joy for me. I was like, did it. And now when you watch it in the movie, it just looks like she's like, wow.
You know, your character always looks like she's flipping through Vanity Fair a few minutes before she's going to take over the world.
Yeah.
Out of the big genre of spy movies, not just at least what we've had just this year, but also going back, which one do you think was kind of in your mind most influences you? You know,
I don't know if there was actually a specific one. I mean, I went back and watched a few, but weirdly, I actually didn't watch that many spy films in reference to this. I just watched a lot of. I watched some Fellini films. I watched some sort of Deneuve films. I watched things like Belle du Jour. I watched this great film with Ursula Anderson, Marcello Mastroianni. I think it's called The Tenth Victim, and it's the sort of most unusual but like fantastic film. And I watched it a lot, and it's just so bizarre. You know, they run around. It's like sort of futuristic, and they run around with these big guns, and she's got this bra on, and you know, all this kind of like slightly strange, absurd sort of. I don't know what the I did know the name, but that school of sort of Italian 60s cinema, I did watch a lot of that, and I felt like for me that influenced me the most, because I mean, as much as I did watch spy films and watch the villains of those films, I felt like we were really creating something.
Yeah, I think it's more, you know, the kind of women that you've seen in old cinema, that kind of, because you know, we, without giving too much away, don't really play spies. I was just about to say that. We all knew that it was going to be very different. Like, the guy is so unprecious. He kind of wants everyone to prepare, but when you get on set, it's so much that he really just wants you to just drop everything you have. And okay, so we have that, but let's just find new things. That was really like a mantra.
And I think he wants you to, certainly playing Victoria. I mean, we don't want to label her, but she's sort of is a psychopath. I mean, she lacks empathy, let's be honest. And I think that there's also this kind of slightly sort of sadistic enjoyment she gets out of what she does. And I think that I did really enjoy playing her, and Guy really let me do that, and I think she works the best when she's really enjoying what she's doing, and I think that that's fun to watch. And so Guy kind of set up an environment for me as an actor where he just wanted me to sort of feel free and enjoy the monologues and enjoy the lines and have her sort of private enjoyment of all the sort of torturing she does of these poor souls.
I felt that Victoria wasn't a villain in that true Machiavellian sense until towards the end. I think all the way through, I just liked the fact that the way that you presented her as just being a really strong, like making split second decisions, and obviously having bloomed in the role of this, you know, sort of behind the scenes mastermind. It wasn't really until the end when we get to the crux of the whole thing where you start to sort of truly embody the villain of the piece, so that, you know, when the end happens, you know, there's a slight cheer, despite it being, you know, your demise or whatever. But I
love that she, like, you always watch her being such a self-made woman.
Yeah, that's
she's
what
building
I
an enterprise.
Yeah.
So she'll just step over
and
dead
and
bodies
so
to get there.
It's just so this is what's happening. And yeah, like, you know, she's not. She's
but like any business person, I mean, when she achieves something in her sort of business sense, I think she sort of pats herself on the back and just sort of onwards. And like, it's just, it's a business sort of, like, I always imagined her sort of waking up, putting on her face.
She doesn't even take
hair.
It off. I love her. Is that in the film yet? When she goes to bed.
I had this.
And you
thing.
Went to bed, and I saw that scene of the. I was like, I love this. She still has the hair.
Yeah. I begged Guy. I mean, it would have taken it to completely different. I mean, then we would have had like serious questions about her as a human. But I had this idea, this crazy idea that I wanted a scene where she went to bed and we saw her face on a stand, like. And put it on the thing, but that was slightly too far. But that was sort of in the back of my mind. I just had this idea that she was so self-made, and she was so self-aware. She knew exactly the image she was projecting, and it was completely manicured and created, and you know, and just very, yeah, it's precise. I think there was this sort of precision about her. So therefore, when she does achieve something in that business sense, she just enjoys it. You know?
What do you think from the two or three things that really stand out as different from, you know, from other ones?
I think, you know, I was, knowing that I kind of stepped into this film and being excited of seeing how Guy Ritchie works, and what kind of distincts his very southern style. When you're working, it was more the way that he worked, that he was very, you know, collaborative and very at ease, but you know, in your head, it was really kind of hard to imagine how it would all come together.
Mm.
And that is something that I think is very specific to what he does. And I was almost like, oh, I totally get how you now worked on precising each of those characters. And it's more about the human, you know, because I think because of the subject too of this film, which needs to be taken seriously, and whilst it being a very, you know, in the end, I think, humorous film, he you know, embraces it with such delicacy, but then when you see the film and the way he's cut it all together and the way he adds on his music and the tempo, and I love how he kind of surprises you using like very chill, you know, Italian elevator music going on with this extremely, you know, it's like images everywhere. You're just on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I kind of had the idea and hopes that it was going to be that film, you know, it's a different thing when you spend months and months of filming things, and so it was really, I was like, oh yeah, there it is, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And in terms of what you want to do in the future, do you have like a sort of ideal? I mean, both done. I mean, you could consider this a bit of a period piece. I would have thought so. And you've done period drama, and so have you. So I'm just wondering what else, do you have a kind of idealism inside
something
you?
Something
that
I have
you?
No idea what it is. It's going to surprise me and be so different from anything I've done, and that's probably
okay.
going to make me as most excited. It's normal.
I think you have a kind of like vague idea, but actually it's really difficult to say because you never really know what it is you need to do as an actor too. And I kind of have this funny belief that things find you, and it's sort of what you should be doing at that moment of as an artist in your life, you know, you sort of something falls into your lap and it's not what you expected, and actually it challenges you more than, you know, something else might, and you just try it out and you're scared of it, and that's the kind of role that I think we both kind of look for all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My last question.
I tell you, I do have one question because I'm representing Japan.
Yes.
And I know you might be going there. But where would you like to visit in Japan, and what is your perception of Japan?
I've never been to Tokyo.
No, I haven't been to Tokyo.
And
I would
just
go
to really
Kyoto.
Want to go.
And then I would love to ski. I would love to go up to the mountains and see some of the beautiful nature that I've just, you know, seen while looking at websites and seeing my friends' photographs and
You'll get there. So what's your perception of Tokyo that you've not been
there? I think it's I imagine it being like a kind of amazing sort of chaos, organized chaos, and like the color and the sights and
I
food.
I
want to
get lost in translation. Really,
that's why I really want to just
yeah.
be Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that's a good perception. Yeah. It's kind of like Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.